desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. As is often the case, we feel in the flesh very inadequate to express the burden that the Lord gives. So if we can just open up our heart and ask the Holy Spirit to help us get hold of the message, is not as much the words, but the message that we can take home with us and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Written on the board, He must increase. I'd like to begin reading in John in the 3rd chapter, in the 22nd verse. It said, "After these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing." Now, have you all ever picked up it said that Jesus and His disciples were in Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized? Sounds like Jesus was doing some baptizing with His disciples, doesn't it? Because it also draws a parallel here. It said, "And John also was baptizing, and it said, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." Now, keep in mind, they were baptizing where there was much water. Do you know, just as a side note, that tells us a little something? You don't need to be where there's a lot of water to baptize if you are sprinkling. You can just have a little water. We could have a baptizing service with this bottle of water this morning. You put a little bit on there and do a little bit of sprinkling, and we could have a baptizing service. But the Scripture said that they baptized by the rivers in more than one place in the book of John. In the 1st chapter, I believe it says the same thing. They baptized where there was much water. And it was because they were practicing full immersion baptism. When someone is going in into the grave, do you just leave a hand and a head poking up out of the dirt? Maybe just sprinkle a little dirt on the dead body and say, "We buried him today." No, when you bury someone, you cover them up, don't you? So that's the symbolism with water baptism, is they went all the way under the water, covered up as if they were buried, and then they were resurrected anew in Jesus Christ. Now, the cleansing, again, was not in the water. The cleansing is in the blood. But it was a symbol of the resurrected life that Jesus had caused. So here we find that Jesus was also baptizing. And it said, "For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying." So we find that at this time they begin to question. And they came to John and said, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men came to him." And John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Want us to get a little picture of what was going on. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. And there were people that were heeding the message of John the Baptist. And then all of a sudden, after a few years, here comes Jesus. And Jesus is baptizing and preaching. And some of the people that had followed John left John to go be followers of Jesus Christ. Now, if you had been sacrificing for years, a lone voice in the wilderness, you've been sacrificed, you gave your life, and you had been doing God's work, and then all of a sudden people started to leave you and not listen to you as much because there was a new show in town. How would that make you feel? There's a lesson to be learned here. They came to John and said, "Hey, people are going over to Jesus, and John's response, may Lord give us more the spirit of John the Baptist. John's response was that, you know, it's the bridegroom. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. In other words, at a wedding ceremony, is all the attention supposed to go on the friend of the groom? You get the groomsmen and the bridesmaids there, and they're like, oh, we want everybody to be focused on us. That's not where the attention is supposed to be focused. The focus is supposed to be on the bride and the groom, isn't it? John had been laboring for years, and when people began to leave him to go to Christ, he said, you know what? This is the way it's supposed to be. I was preaching a message to point people to Jesus Christ. He said, my joy is fulfilled. Is it all right not to be in the limelight this morning? Is it all right for people not to give when you have sacrificed and you have given of yourself? And maybe you have witnessed to someone and you have worked with someone and you have dealt with someone. You sacrificed for someone and you were trying to bring someone to the Lord and spent years doing that. And then one day, that person goes to someone else and said, oh, would you pray with me to be saved? And they came to serve and said, oh, you know, Sister Renee, she prayed with me and I've been saved. And you're sitting over there and you have labored for years showing them the love of God and bringing them and teaching them and setting an example before them. Would you think, well, I'm the one that put in all the work. I mean, she just said a few minutes prayer with them, but I'm the one that, oh, John said, my joy is fulfilled. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, that's easier said than done. But John went on to say, he must increase. Folks, John could have been resentful. He had been laboring. He could have been resentful, but rather he was like, the Lord must increase. And I just wonder this morning, is there anywhere in your life that Christ could be increased in a greater way? He must increase. Can he be increased in your home? Can he be increased in your relationships? Can he be increased in the congregation? We want Christ to be increased. We want Christ to be magnified this morning. And this is the reason 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, for we preach not ourselves. I mentioned it earlier. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves the servants for Jesus' sake. Everything that we do in this life ought to be that God would be glorified and Jesus would be lifted up. Everything that we do. So we then need to examine our life and say, is the Lord being increased? He must increase. Our purpose in our home should be that Christ is increased. Our purpose in our personal life, our purposes as a body of people this morning should be that Christ be increased. You know, it's not about wealth. It's not about position. It's not about how fancy of a chapel, of a building we can have. It's not about even large numbers. It is about Christ being increased in our midst. And if we divert from that goal, folks, we're going to go wrong. In your homes, if your goal as a family is not that Christ be increased in your home, we'll go wrong somewhere. We're going to get off. We're going to be pulled to the things of the world. He must increase. Jesus said over in John chapter 12, in the 32nd verse, John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Y'all have heard that scripture many times, right? I don't want to be guilty of taking something out of context. There are many lessons that can be learned out of scriptures. But before I bring out another point, I do want you to know what Jesus was talking about. And he tells us in the next verse. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Probably you've heard messages preached, if I be lifted up. Do you know Jesus was talking about his death on the cross? If I be lifted up from the earth. That's exactly what he was referring to. He was put on a cross and they lifted that cross up. And it said here it was signifying what death he should die. So if Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he would draw all men to himself through his death on the cross. But it is also true, and this is just a scripture that bears out maybe some symbolic meaning in addition to the cross, that in our lives, if Jesus is lifted up, do you know that's what's going to draw people to God? Because we can say, where is Jesus? People today say, where is Jesus? I don't see him. You are the only Jesus that a lot of people will ever see. And by that I mean the way that you live your life. The love that you show to them may be the only true love that they experience in life. And through your love, they can be drawn to Jesus Christ. Through your life, they can see Jesus. There's a song that said, I want the people to see Jesus in me. That ought to be our ambition this morning. I want people to see Jesus, which means he must increase. I want Christ to be lifted up in the words that we speak, in the things that we do, in the places that we go, in our goals, in our dreams, in our purposes, in our plans. Is Christ being lifted up this morning? The scripture over in Matthew 5, very familiar passage, it says, ye are the light of the world. You are the light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. But it doesn't stop there. He went on to say, let your light so shine that they may see what? Your good works. And we say, oh, this, I want people to see my good works. Is that what it's about? The rest of it said that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify who? The Father which is in heaven. If we do things, folks, so people will speak well of us, and we do things to get our plaque, to get our name on a plaque somewhere, we want everyone to know that, you know, a lot of times businesses, they will, or even nonprofits, they will have that, you can get silver status or gold status or platinum status. And if you were going to say you were going to give $200, but if you gave $250, you'd get silver status. You might think, well, I think I'll go ahead and give an extra $50, and then people can come in and my name's going to be under silver status. There are some people, they will give money and donate money to universities, but there's a caveat. I'll donate $10 million, but I want my name put on that building. I want that to be the Michael Smith College of Mathematics. And I'll give the money, but that's tied to it because I want my name on that building. Do you know that's not the way it should be among God's people? The things that we do, the good works, should be that Jesus Christ would be glorified. That he would be lifted up. It's not about John the Baptist, and that's what he was saying. It's not about me. I mean, he could have been resentful, but he said, it's about the bridegroom. And he said, I'm happy for that. My joy is full. He must increase. Lord, help us to have Christ increase in our life. That Christ would be on display. But do you know what's going to take something for Christ to be increased? What's it going to take? John said it. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, we can all still say, yeah, Jesus be increased. That sounds good, right? We can go that far. But do you know, for Christ to be increased in our life, it's going to come at a cost. John was in essence saying, you know what, it's time for me to start stepping back because I don't want to interfere with Christ's ministry. I was here before him preparing the way, but now that the bridegroom is here, it's time for me to kind of step out of the way so that Christ could receive the glory. Do you know this morning, if we want Christ to be increased in our life, we are going to have to decrease. And you know what it means to decrease? It means to get smaller. It means we're going to have to start dying out to ourselves that Christ would be on display. Have you ever been in a controversy? Have you ever been in a place that maybe you young people, children, married people, everybody, you ever had some of those tense moments? You know, you discussion things and aren't quite seeing eye to eye. All right, there's two of us now. And you think, you know what, I want Christ. I want Christ to have His way. I want the Lord to be increased. Like, yeah, I want that, but you know what comes at a cost? It means that, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to die out to myself here. And do you know dying out to yourself doesn't feel very good? Because a lot of times it means you don't get justice. It means you will be misunderstood. It means that you're not going to get your way. It means that you're not going to... It means life, frankly, folks, isn't always fair. I like fair play. I like logic. I like justice. But you know what I found in serving the Lord is that a lot of times, frankly, you don't get justice. And frankly, a lot of times people flat out are not fair and they play dirty. So then what are we going to do? Lord, I want You to increase. So help me to die out to myself. Help me to die out to myself that somewhere along the way, Lord, that You would receive glory in it, even if I don't see it today. I must decrease. Less of ourself. Is anybody, and I'm not asking for you to verbally acknowledge this, but are there any areas in our life that we need to decrease that Christ could have more preeminence? In the things that we do, the way that we talk, the things that I need to decrease. And this is one of the reasons why Paul said, and we're not going, I don't want to belabor the point, but in Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8, Paul said, what things were gained to me, I counted them but loss for Christ. In other words, you can win the argument, but you'll lose the war. You heard that expression? You can win your point. Those of you that are married, this is a little marriage instruction here. I think probably everybody that's married will know what I'm talking about. And if you're nervous to nod your head because your companion's sitting beside you, it's all right. But do you know you might be able to win an argument? You might be able to go out thinking, I got that one. But did you really win? What did you win? Did you win companionship? Did you win understanding? I got it on the facts. Well, maybe you got it on the facts, or sisters, maybe you got it on the emotion, whichever way you want to look at it. But the point being is, what did you really win? Do you come out closer together? Lord, help me to decrease. I want Christ and the graces of Christ to be on display, even if no one else recognizes it. Even if you're still misunderstood in the workplace, in the people you work with in town, at school, in the congregation, in the body of Christ, even if people don't recognize it, if you can decrease, that Christ would be increased in your own life. And no one's getting, most times people don't come up and say, you know, Brother Randy, I really see Jesus. You're thinking, huh, I'm glad that didn't, you know, if my attitude's wrong, I'm not going to go tell Brother Randy that if we have a problem, right? But do you know that Brother Randy could walk away thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because in his life, Christ is increased. That's just an example. But do you know that's where Christ wants to be increased in our lives personally? And I want to encourage us this morning to start lifting Him up. And it means that we're going to have to die out more to ourselves. The words that you speak is Christ being increased. The things that you're doing is Christ being increased. And Paul went on to say, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, through whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I wonder if we're willing to count everything but loss this morning. Are you willing to count everything but loss that you can gain Christ? I find that a lot of times people struggle and they say, I want spiritual victory. I want to overcome this in my life. I want to have more of God's grace in my life. But do you know what the answer is to get God's grace working in your life? What do we have to do? Who does God give grace to? The humble. God resisteth the who? He resists the proud. Because Jesus is not increased in our life as one wife told us one time, I remember as a young person, she stood there and told my brothers, all three of us were standing there, she said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but she said, the little man standing up on the inside. And you know what the consequence of that marriage was? Didn't last. That little man needed to learn to submit to the Lord. And that little man that was standing up on the inside, I know, lots of different sides of things like that, but folks, this is where we're going to have to learn to die out if we want Christ to be increased. I'm going to count it but loss. I want to die out to my way, my plans, my desires, if it is in conflict with Christ. See, nothing's wrong with plans and dreams, but those things need to be in submission to God because we're not going to have grace. Have you ever had, let's go back to those moments. You ever had an issue and in your mind, in your heart, the Lord spoke to you and was like, you need to humble yourself. Have you ever heard that? That quiet voice? It wasn't the Lord with a bat. It was that quiet, you need to humble yourself. Has anybody beside me ever heard that? And you knew you were faced with a choice. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to humble myself and decrease? Has anybody ever overridden that? Thought, well, I'm still going to say it. Am I the only one that's ever done that? You know what happens? Christ isn't increased. He's not increased. So it means that you might have to give up point. It means you might have to give up what you really see as being right when the Lord speaks to you quietly and says, you know what? Let it go. Let it go. I want to be lifted up. And this touches so many different areas of our life. I know I've used examples in the home, but brothers and sisters, same thing. In the workplace, in the body of Christ, it touches so many areas, but also personally, the decisions of you young people, the things that you do, the things you listen to, the things you look at, ask yourself this, is Christ being increased? So you mean I have to give that up? No, the preacher's not making you do it. But when the Lord speaks to you and say, you know what, that's not good for you. I want to be glorified in your life. I want to bless your life. And then people ignore that and then they wonder why they're struggling and they don't have victory. It's because we're not counting all things but loss. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Do you know that when we can learn to die out to ourself more and more, and do you know this death, it seems like it's a never-ending process. People say, well, you die once, but you know what? One trip to the altar to submit yourself to the Lord doesn't mean that you're never going to have to do it again in life, right? Because tomorrow there's going to be a new battle and your heart can be in that place of submission, but you're going to say, Lord, I'm really struggling here and I need some help here. And I need to die out. I need to decrease because I want your strength in my life. I want your grace working in my life. Do you know when we can learn to die, then that's when the fruit can start growing. That little seed has to die in the ground and it'll bring forth much fruit. That's what causes Christ to be increased. So, in the congregation, in the church, in the home, in our personal lives, And I would have one more scripture I'd like to share with you in Psalms 34 in verse 1. He said, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Magnify. Do you know what it means to magnify? It means to make large, right? We want Christ to be increased this morning. Is there anybody here that would take a challenge and take this home with you? I want the Lord to be increased in my life. I want to magnify Him to my family. I want to magnify Him in the congregation. I want to magnify Him when I'm doing business with people in town. I want to magnify the Lord. And that means to esteem Him, to honor Him through obedience, in our love, in forgiveness, in long-suffering, in all the things from the outward appearance to the inward attitudes. I want to magnify the Lord. But to do that, for Him to be increased, we must decrease. You know that the work of the Lord is increased through His holiness and righteousness working in and through our life. That's where Christ is increased. We pray for our unsaved loved ones. We pray for a lost world. It's going to come, a difference will be made when we can decrease. We want greater anointing among us as a people, don't we? You know where it's going to come from? When it's about Christ being lifted up. It shouldn't be about politics, in the church or out of it. Shouldn't be about politics. It shouldn't be about position. It shouldn't be about seeking your own welfare and pushing for you. It should be about, Lord, we want You to be increased. And when you find a body of people that have that spirit, you will find the presence of God and His anointing, because these people are dying out to their self because they're wanting Christ to be lifted up. So as we close here this morning, I just encourage us, as we go home today, let's be challenged to magnify the Lord, and it will come about by the Spirit of John the Baptist when he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease."